to preach. But today I'm going to talk about discipleship, or being a disciple. What does it mean to be a disciple? And I'm going to go in a little different direction. I'm going to talk about really the hindrances of being a disciple. But let's start first in Matthew 28, verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18, and see what Jesus said about being a disciple. So as you know, Jesus just went up, you know, he's about to go up into heaven. And he says this in verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Isn't it good to know that Jesus got all authority? Yes. Ain't nobody the boss except for him. Amen. He's the boss. Period. He says, no, I don't care what you say, I'm the boss. In other words, he has the last say in everything. Ah, that's a good shouting right there. He has the last say in everything. No matter what the devil tells you, what people tell you, what doctors tell you, Jesus has the last say. He's authority. Doctor says you're going to die, Jesus says you're going to live. Amen. I've seen it a million times. My mom was supposed to be dead several times, and nope, Jesus has the last word. Amen. All right. Anyway, verse 19. Then he says this, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Now, I want to stop right there, and I want you to notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say go and make converts. He says go and make disciples. In other words, he's not telling you to go sit on a street corner, shave your head, sell flowers, and make money that way and tell people to follow him. He says this. He says make disciples. And a disciple, the word disciple means a disciplined one. Now, think about a weightlifter. Me, for example, a bodybuilder. I spent a lot of time building this body. It may not be what you think a bodybuilder is, but I spent a lot of time building it. So, anyway, a bodybuilder spends a lot of time in the gym, and they're very disciplined doing it. A boxer is very disciplined. I know. A boxer is very disciplined. Listen, Muhammad Ali was not eating Twinkies the night before the big fight against Joe Frazier. I know some of you don't even know who Muhammad Ali is or Joe Frazier is. But anyway, why? Because they were disciplined. In other words, they followed a set of rules, regulations, so to speak, that would allow them to be the best, that would allow them to excel in what they do. They were disciplined. If you want to lose weight, you have to be disciplined. And you have to stay away from the refrigerator. You got to stay away from the fries. You have to discipline yourself. The Bible says this. Jesus said that you also have to be disciplined in your spiritual life. Amen. See, nobody likes to hear that. You have to be disciplined spiritually. In other words, there's things that you have to do to be a disciple. You can't just give your life to Jesus and say, I'm good, see you later. No, you have to live a disciplined life. That includes several things. You know, we've talked about, you know, praying, reading your Bible, loving one another, forgiving one another, living a disciplined spiritual life, reading your Bible, coming to church. Amen. Yes, amen. All right, so go to Acts chapter 2. Let's go to the next scripture. Acts chapter 2. One of the things that Paul talks about a lot, and this is in Hebrews, and he said, forsake not, or don't stop going to church. He says, actually, he says, get there more often as you see the end or the day of the Lord approaching. Now, I know many of us have been talking about how the world is just going nuts, right? People have changed. People's ideas have changed. People's thoughts. The world has changed. People are killing people everywhere. And so we know that something's going to happen. The Bible says Jesus is coming back. Whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, he is. If God ever said anything, he's always guaranteed his word. God has never lied. Jesus said he's coming back. That's a done deal. When? We really don't know, but we could tell the season. And one of the seasons, the Bible says, the signs, is the way the condition of the world is. When people have turned their back on God. You know, when people's hearts have grown cold. When people can go and throw water all over police officers and then laugh about it. You know, go with those water pistols and or knock people out. People's hearts have grown cold. Jesus said, now you know, that's a sign that the end is coming. So in Acts chapter 2, we see a characteristic of a disciple, of a disciplined one. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. 41 first. I have to get there. Here it is. All right. He says this, verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. I want you to notice this, where he says they continued steadfastly. In other words, it's something that they did continually. They didn't stop doing it. They didn't just get saved and never go back to church. What they did is they continued steadfastly. In other words, it's on their calendar. Listen, I don't get up Sunday morning and say, gee, should I go to church or not? Janice, what do you think? Should I go to church this morning? You know, I don't do that. Why? Not that it's my job. Even when I wasn't a pastor, Sunday mornings belong to the Lord. And I continued steadfastly in that role, in that conditioning of myself. Why? Because of all he did for us, the least I could do is give him a Sunday morning for 2 hours. I want you to think about this. If God put his son through the worst conditions, ripping apart his body, putting him on a cross, nailing him naked up there, humiliating his son, letting him suffer hell for you and me, why would he say there is another way to heaven? If he was willing to put his son through all that suffering, persecution, why would he say there's any other way to heaven? The least we could do for all Jesus did, he took all of our sins and he experienced everything you ever did, every foul thought you ever had, every perverted thought, every murder that ever occurred. The payment for that was on him. He took that payment. Jesus experienced guilt. He experienced condemnation. He experienced shame on the cross. He experienced everything that we were supposed to experience. The least we can do is give him 2 hours on Sunday morning. The least. And it says here, he says, here's the marks of a disciple, that you continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. In other words, there are ordained people on this planet that have a doctrine that you are supposed to follow. He didn't say continue steadfastly in, you know, the guy across the street. He didn't say continue steadfastly in, you know, somebody's thought pattern. He said continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. An apostle is someone who's been chosen by God, ordained by God to teach doctrine. The word doctrine is a system of truth. That's what doctrine means. It means a system. So there's a system to being a Christian. It's not just say, I love Jesus, I give him a heart, I'm saved, but then God wants to get involved in your life. And there's a system to living a better life. That's called doctrine. Amen? You see, Jesus didn't come just to teach us how to live. He came to give us life. John 10:10 said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And you can't do that unless you're a disciple, unless you're following a doctrine or a system of truth. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says this, that faith comes by hearing and 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 hearing the word. That's how faith comes. How? By a continual hearing of the word of God. Listen, if you continually hear that you're no good, you're no good, you never amount to nothing, what happens? You'll be no good, you'll never amount to nothing. But when you continue to hear that Jesus died for you, took your sins, took your shame, took your guilt, and gave you a victorious life, he gave you all the tools to be successful, that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, that he has not condemned you, that he set you free from pain and guilt, that he's given you a whole new life, what does it mean? I feel great. I'm grateful to the Lord for that. I will follow someone who tells me that. I will continue steadfastly in someone who tells me who God says I am. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Thank God we're new creatures. Because a lot of us have done some bad things. The old man has done some bad things. Amen? It's great to have a new start. It's great to have a third new start, a fourth new start. That's the good thing about God. He doesn't say, all right, you wasted your starts. No, he says, you get up every day. He says his tender mercies are new every single morning. He says morning lasts just for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Why do you think there's a new day every 24 hours? Why? So you can say, Lord, forgive me for what I did yesterday. I'm starting fresh. I'm starting a whole new life. We got a new week. We get a new month. We get a new year. Think about how many times you have a chance to change your life and start over again. And right now, you can start a whole new life. How? I'm going to be disciplined from this day on. I'm going to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Not your brother's doctrine, not your friend's doctrine. He says, in the apostles' doctrine. An apostle is someone who's called by God. In other words, God has ordained people in your life that you are to follow and continue steadfastly in their doctrine. Amen? Praise Jesus. Say praise Jesus.
Praise Jesus.
Say it the way I said it. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. All right, go to Mark chapter 4. Let me take, this is where I really want to go to today. Go to Mark chapter 4. So there's a huge hindrance to continuing steadfastly. And that's what I see for people who want to be disciples. I gave my life to the Lord in 1986, so that's what, 33 years? 33 years I have done my best to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, there have been road bumps along the way, things or people or things that have tried to stop me, to throw me off course, right, to follow somebody else or give up Jesus, not go to church, give up everything that I've lived for. But we know for a fact that Jesus said these things would happen. And he gave us a warning, and the biggest warning is in Mark chapter 4. So let's go there. Mark chapter 4, and I want to talk about the parable of the sower. Because this is a very plain parable, and Jesus said this about the parable of the sower. Well, let me say it this way. This is the first parable he ever taught, and he said, if you understand this one parable, he says, you'll understand everything in the kingdom. He said, it's just this one parable. It's real simple, he said. You understand this one thing, you'll understand everything. So we should look at it because there's stuff, there's truth in here that'll help us live a better life, a successful life, a victorious life. Jesus said he wants us to live a victorious life. Amen. He didn't say you're not going to have problems, but he said every problem you have, he's the solution. He says you can overcome everything. You can triumph in everything. Amen. Think about who's inside of you, the greater one. If God took the time to put himself inside of you, how much is in there? God himself lives inside of you. He moved in. You ever have neighbors move in? Right? You see a big truck coming in, U-Haul. Right? And then you see all their furniture coming out. Well, somebody who's better than U-Haul moved into you. And he didn't bring one truckload. He didn't bring two truckloads. He brought all of heaven with him. All of heaven moved into you. Come on. Everything he is has moved inside of you. He said it. I'm not making this stuff up. He said the Holy Ghost will come and live inside of you. He says, just like me, he's just like me, he said, Jesus. Jesus said, this guy is just like me. He's the Holy Spirit. He is truth. He's comfort. He's strength. He's your advocate. He'll tell you what to say. He'll show you what to do. He'll show you the future. He'll remind you of things that you got to do. He's amazing. All of heaven moved inside of you. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with the greater one, with God himself, with Jesus, the victorious one. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He went up to the devil. He took his keys. He says, give me those keys. They don't belong to you. He has the keys, he says, of death and hell. And what did he do to Peter? He said, I'll build my church. He says, and these are the keys of the kingdom. God. Amen. You should never have a sour day. If things are going down, just look up. Just know he's still on the throne. He's smiling down on you. And he says, I've got everything you need. Don't worry about it. Praise Jesus. I'm preaching too good. I'm going to take up another offering. Woo-hoo. All right, where are we? Mark chapter 4. You ready? All right, verse 2. Here's the parable. Verse 13. Let's go there. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? So he's explaining it. He says, how then will you understand all the parables? He says, the sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So number one ground, the number one thing about the parable is that Satan will come immediately to steal what you're learning this morning. He's coming immediately. How many of you are thinking about lunch already? Don't raise your hands. Well, I have to pray for you and you have to repent. But how many of you are thinking about the person sitting in front of you? You know, their hair is in your way or they got too much hairspray. Sorry, Malika. But too much cologne. Your mind is always going somewhere, right? What do you have to do? Tomorrow's a new day. I got to go to work. Got to face my boss. Oh, no. But Satan comes immediately to steal the word. Church is a time that your ground, your heart, is open to receive the word of God. That's a time. That's what we have right now. We only get an hour, really, to share the word. And now the rest of the week, you got to go out there and face your battles. So he says this, Satan comes immediately to steal the word. Number 16, takes away the word that was sown in our 16. And these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. How many of you just said, hey, amen, praise the Lord? So we're talking about you. Said they receive it with gladness. They're happy. Yes, pastor, good message. And then tonight, so, what did pastor say? I forgot. Let me go to Facebook Live and see it again. Watch this. But they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time, and afterward, when tribulation and persecution arises, listen, I'm a realist. The truth is, you're going to have persecution. You're going to have trouble. Don't let anybody tell you that if you give your life to Jesus, everything is perfect. It's not. When you give your life to Jesus, things will stay the same, but you've got a different attitude, you've got a different outlook, and you've got a helper that'll make you overcome. Yeah. And he's given you the tools to the kingdom to conquer every trouble, problem you will ever have. Your problems don't go away, but the way you react to your problems change. He says, when mountains come, what do? You speak to the mountain and command it to be removed. Before, your mountains would come, and you'd look at them, and then another mountain would grow right behind it. And then all of a sudden, you've got a whole mountain range. You've got the Appalachian Mountains looking at you. Your problems got worse. Jesus said, don't look at your mountain. You speak to your mountain. And what do you do to it? You tell it, get up and get out. And Jesus said this, it has to move. That's the power inside of you. Ephesians 3:20, right? But to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You got a problem this morning? Speak to it. Don't look at it. Don't think about it. Jesus said, don't think about your mountain. Speak to your mountain. All right, watch this. Ready? Ready? It's going to get really good now. You ready? Nobody's ready. You ready? My iPad died while I was on vacation, so I had to print out all my notes. Ready? Here he goes. Verse 17, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. The King James says immediately they are offended. He says immediately they are offended. It's not the word stumble in New King James. The Greek word is offended. And you know what the Greek word is? The Greek word is skandalizo. It's the same word we use for scandal. Scandalize. It's the same word that we use for scandal. You know what a scandal is? It's when you hear the pastor sleeping with his secretary. What? A scandal is news that shocks you. What? I can't believe that. That's a scandal. When you hear something that you cannot believe and you're shocked about it. The Bible says that people get offended because of the news they just heard. Gossip, rumors. Or how about this? To be offended, ready, means you're making a mountain out of a molehill. Or a mountain out of a molehill. That's what to be offended means. Jesus said this is the worst thing that can steal the word from you. This is what will cause you to leave church. This is what will cause you to stop being disciplined. Offenses. Being offended. Well, I went to church Sunday and the pastor was talking all about me. He kept looking at me. He talked about me. I know it was all about me. That sermon was about me. He was outside my house. I guarantee he watched me. I know he knows everything. I'm offended. I went to that church and, you know, I don't like green. You know, I know he's a New York Jets fan, but it just makes me crazy with the green chairs and the green carpet. I'm offended. I'm a Giants fan. Do you understand that people won't go to church because of stupid things like that? They're offended. They're shocked. I'm shocked. I went to church and the pastor didn't shake my hand. I'm shocked. Doesn't he know who I am? Does he know how much money I give to that church and he doesn't even talk to me? Do you understand what offense is? Little things like that. Pastor's wife, right? She should be playing piano. Every pastor wife I know plays piano. Right? Listen, when I went to Bible school, a lot of guys who were single were looking for wives, but they had to play piano. They didn't care how good looking they were. They just had to play piano. That's true. Absolutely true. No. It's too late. You're in. All right. Offense, offended. Offenses is the worst that can happen. Let me talk to you about three quick offenses, because these little things, offenses, cause people to step away from the Word of God. And you allow Satan to steal the Word from you. Jesus said it. He says, if you understand this, you'll understand your life. You'll understand the kingdom. You'll understand the kingdom. And we're supposed to live a kingdom lifestyle. We're supposed to be kingdom-minded. Jesus said, if you seek me, you know, him, his kingdom first, all these things will be added to us. In other words, everything in his kingdom is available to us. He's given us the keys to the kingdom. If you understand this, he'll never rob the kingdom from you. Jesus is coming back with his kingdom. It's going to be amazing. Heaven's going to be amazing. And he's coming back here. And he says, you will be a king. He's the King of Kings. So he's our king. And you'll be a king. Amen. So number one is a direct offense. Three different types of offenses. Number one is a direct offense. In other words, it was done at you. Specifically at you. when somebody came and said something to you and you were directly offended by them. The Bible says this is the way you handle that. You go back to the person and talk to them. Hey, what you said to me offended me. And give that person an opportunity to forgive, to repent. Amen? But doesn't the Bible say that? Matthew chapter 18. If someone does something to you, what do? You go directly to them. And you handle it. Because the Bible says if you don't handle it, you'll give place to the devil. And he'll rob the word from you. You know what'll keep you from growing spiritually? Keeping grudges in your heart. When you hold on to things. The Bible says don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Be angry and sin not. In other words, you can be angry, but don't sin. How is that? You deal with it. Hey, you got me mad. Let's talk about it. Let's sit down like brothers and sisters, like adults, and fix this. If I've done something to you, all you got to do is tell me. And you give me the opportunity to sit down and repent. If I'm wrong, I will repent. And you know I'm Mr. Wonderful, so I'm never wrong. Just kidding. Just kidding. Number two. What, Martha? Prideful too? We could talk about it later. Number two is a perceived offense. It's perceived that it was directed at you. Perceived. I think, well, he must have been. I don't know. There's only like 150 people in church this morning, and I know he was talking about me. It's a perceived offense. This is the devil's number one tactic. When he whispers in your ear and said, hey, they're talking about you. I don't think he likes you. It's a perceived offense. Ready? The third one, the worst one, is a borrowed offense. When somebody else is offended, and they come and whisper in your ear and say, hey, can I talk to you? I'm just having a struggle. I just need to talk to you. Pastor said something, and you know, he just rubbed me the wrong. You're right. I'm on your side. You've just borrowed somebody else's offense. That is the worst and the lowest. Because if you're spiritual enough, you'll say, if you're talking about my pastor, talk to the hand. Because I ain't listening. Now, I'm just using myself as an example. It could be about anything. If somebody talks to you about your wife who comes to you or talks about somebody else, it's not bad that they're talking about you. It's bad that you're listening. It's really immature to listen to somebody else's gossip. Because the moment you take their side, you're borrowing their offense. And the devil just stole the word out of your heart. You've lost everything you've worked for. Now I'm going to say that. Never mind. How do you think God feels about all this? How do you think Jesus feels? I mean, he died for us. Talk about a borrowed offense. He borrowed our offense. He went on a cross and hung for us. Took it all. You know, one of the seven deadly sins is gossip. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Well, I got to get this off my chest. Why? Who are you that you have to get it off your chest? When he hung there, he took it all onto his chest. Let me tell you a quick story, and I'm going to end with this. Because this is the way the word is stolen. We need to be mature. I'll say it again. Jesus is coming back. We can't be getting offended at one another. We need to be praying for one another. We need to be disciplined ones. We need to be true disciples. Jesus said this. This is how they will know you are my disciples. If you love one another. As a pastor in Texas told me the story, he said his church was growing. And he had to go to two services. So he needed his ushers. Before he could train new ushers, He needed his ushers and his all his helpers. You know, those guys with the earpieces. He needed all those guys. He needed them to do two services. So he says, listen, guys, I'm going to do something for you. Between service, if you help me out for a couple of weeks, he says, I'm going to get donuts in the break room, coffee donuts for everybody. All right, free breakfast, it's on me. Just so you guys can help me out. So it was great. So week one, everything was great. He goes into the break room, see how everybody is. And sure enough, somebody brought their family in there. Their aunt, their uncle was in there. The whole place was full of people eating donuts. It wasn't just the ushers. So, you know, he let it slide. Week two, goes in the break room, more people in there. It wasn't just the ushers anymore. It's uncles, aunts, cousins, friends. Hey, we got donuts. Come on in. So he pulled the head usher over. He says, listen, I'm trying to, you know, I want to be fair, but this is just for you guys. He says, please, he says, don't let anybody else in here. I want to reward you. I'm thankful that you're doing this for me. You're doing two services. So please, no aunts, no uncles, no cousins. All right, just for you guys. So the ushers, oh, I'm sorry, pastor, forgive me, I won't do it again. Ready? Next week. So the pastor's going to check on them. And he sees a lady walking by, and she's got, like, sugar right along her thing here. Powdered sugar coming down from the direction of the break room. He's like, here we go. He goes in there, and sure enough, somebody else is in there eating. He pulls the usher over. He says, listen, I've asked you once. He says, the second time, you promised me you weren't going to do it. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to let you go. I can't let this happen anymore. The dude got so upset, left the church, never went back to church again. Ready? Just imagine for a minute, this guy is now in heaven. Okay? He's in heaven. Jesus calls Warner Wolf over. Let's go to the videotape. Let's check out this guy's life. Him and Jesus are having a face-to-face. And he says, you're such a great Christian. Look at you. You were this, you did that, you helped out. You were head usher. But what happened here? You crashed. You never went back to church again. And Jesus says this to the guy. He says, you're going to tell me that you let a donut come between me and you? How many times have we allowed little things like a donut to get in between us and him? Your relationship with him is the most important thing you'll ever have on this earth. More important than your husband, your kids, anything. Because he is eternal life. And he'll give you a better life. He'll show you how to have victory in everything. But if you ever step away from him for a minute, you don't live that disciplined life. And Jesus said, this is what happens. You'll be offended. How many of you have never been offended before? Every one of us gets offended. Every one of us. Jesus said, don't let an offense get in the way between you and what I have for you. Everybody stand up for a minute. Don't let a donut get between you and Jesus. Bow your heads, please. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for all these people here this morning. Father, we come together to repent of any offense that we've held, that we've borrowed, that we've perceived. Lord, I ask that you forgive us.